MoneyWeb now on the money.
The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. I'm chatting with Mihir Jakut. He is manager of Global Islamic Equity Offering at the Old Mutual Investment Group. Mihir, appreciate the time today. Before we start drilling into some of the offshore sectors you like, what this year, all the talk is, rates are coming down and all the debate is, will it be March, May, June? As a long-term investor, truthfully, I mean, the nuances of exactly when the rate cuts start is largely irrelevant.
Yes, absolutely. It's good that you mentioned quality companies because that's the core of our philosophy. I think, to be honest, there is a very mixed bag in terms of market commentators out there. There's still a lot of talk about a soft landing. There's some talk about no landing. But I think it really, really boils down to the labor, because usually what happens with the US labor, rates come down when you see some serious unemployment numbers. But because the labor's so strong, I think there's definitely, that's the big holdback. And there's a silver lining through all of this is that the Fed keeps saying that they'll wait on the data to make the decision. And I think that's important because if we think about job growth, essentially that comes with wage growth. And what follows from wage growth is consumption, which really accounts for 70% of the US economy. And what follows from consumption? Inflation. So this is a tricky time. I think in our mind, the way we see it is we want to build a robust portfolios because that is a crystal ball question. So what we can do is we believe in our philosophy. We stick to our guns, quality at the core, where valuations have to be right and businesses have to have the ability to grow. And that's what we'll stick with.
I take a point on that. And looking forward, I mean, a strong 2023, particularly healthcare and big tech, you're still selectively, and that's the important point, liking parts of it. I mean, healthcare really has been revolutionized, AI, telemedicine, wearables. But two you're liking is Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly, which are, I mean, they've got the diabetes and obesity medication, which is huge in terms of innovation in the healthcare space.
I think that's important. I think the sector is going to be revolutionized by AI. Biotech specifically was on a hectic ramp up in the time of COVID, and then it fell off. But that opened certain sectors or certain businesses where imaging became very important. You know, it was like a very low touch with the patient. So like telemedicine, I think that's really important. I mean, you mentioned Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly, and I want to take this back to our investment process, looking for quality companies. And as a systematic process, we don't see management. So then what stands out from a company like a Novo Nordisk or Eli Lilly? Why is that in our portfolio? Well, one is because we can measure on how good management is and how good the company is with data and with metrics. And to give you a simple example, if you're not seeing company management and you look at the return on invested capital, well, the return on invested capital metric is telling you what management has done in terms of what that percentage is. So how good are they at capital allocation? That's the first thing. The other thing is, if that number is stable, it really tells you that they've got some sort of competitive advantage within the industry that they operate. And that's been exceptionally stable in the terms of diabetes medication. So between the two, they control diabetes and obesity around the world. They've got fantastic weight loss drugs, which have proven to also decrease heart disease. So again, back to healthcare and where we are positioned and why we are positioned that way is very important.
Another sector you're liking is tech, Magnificent Seven. They've had a stunning run. In particular, Meta and Alphabet, your preferred.
Yes. And again, you know, Simon, the same principle would apply in the Magnificent Seven. So here, we have to look at this relative, but also we have to look at what is approved in our universe and what isn't. So Amazon is not approved because the board can't dissect the non-permissible sales from the permissible sales. Mm-hmm. So that's out of our universe. But in relative terms, yes, absolutely. Our model from a quality growth and value point of view is preferring Google or Alphabet as well as Meta. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't actually have the rest of them. We are just overweight relative to our benchmark. Sometimes when NVIDIA runs, while it's approved and nobody can put a PE on NVIDIA yet, but it's had fantastic momentum and fantastic growth. It's not that we don't hold NVIDIA.
Yeah.
It's just that we'd like to see things normalize before we go overweight. So we do have a holding. We also have a holding in Apple. The benchmark holding in Apple is about 7%. We've got about 4.5. Now, 4.5 in absolute terms is still a big weight in Apple. It's just underweight relative to the benchmark. But relative to each other, we believe that, at least on our model, that Meta and Alphabet score better.
I take your point on that. And a quick last question. I mean, you're running Sharia-compliant portfolios, and a lot of folks will say, well, I don't need Sharia-compliant. But data coming out suggests that actually a significant number of investors are not necessarily Muslim. They're there for the returns. They're there for the mandate. They're there for, truthfully, the methodology.
Yes, absolutely. So two things at a starting point. The first thing is that your universe that you start off with, right? So to get to that universe, there are two tests, qualitative and a quantitative. Qualitative, I think everybody understands, your sin stocks are all out. On the quantitative side, there are certain ratios that govern us. That's a mathematical calculation of the annual financial statements. And there's a ratio in there which doesn't allow you to invest in businesses that have excessive debt. Now, what that leaves you with as a portfolio manager from a starting point is that you're already set up with a quality universe, right? And I think, secondly, yes, absolutely, there's a large customer base or investor base within our AUM, especially in our retail book, that is the numbers roughly north of 20%. And those individuals, I have to ask myself, why are those individuals in our fund? So the reality is that people actually are focused on ESG. And while we have ESG funds in our business, they're relatively new. So the responsible investment choice, they would use the Sharia compliant funds. And then lastly, the important thing is that if you are excluding certain sectors like financials and everybody else is chasing the same thing on the conventional side, you can get a smoother return path by adding a Sharia compliant fund to your basket of funds, to your investments, to actually, I would say, level that out. Because on the one end, if financials aren't doing well, you'd expect Sharia compliant funds to do well, but because they've been excluded in Sharia compliant funds. So what I'm trying to get at is there's a different performance signature that a Sharia compliant fund brings, which you can add to a conventional basket to give you a better diversified outcome.
Gotcha. Now that makes perfect sense. We'll leave it there. Muhir Yokut, manager of the Global Islamic Equity Offering at Old Mutual Investment Group. Appreciate the time today. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.